Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
I'm John Batchelor. Professor Josiah Osgood's new book is Uncommon Wrath, How Caesar, the Warrior and Rhetorician, and Cato, the Rhetorician and Busybody, how Caesar and Cato's deadly rivalry destroyed the Roman Republic. We've introduced Pompey, who's successful as a general and wins his triumph and is a man seen as the strongest representative of Roman military. Now we introduce a man named Crassus, because Pompey and Caesar and Crassus are going to find a way to work together. What do we need to know about Crassus, and how did Caesar use Crassus, Professor?
Yeah, so Crassus really was, perhaps other than Catiline, one, the shadiest politician in Rome, and had that reputation. And Olivier did play him very well in Kubrick's movie Spartacus, so I do recommend that portrayal. So Crassus came of age in the Civil War and really used it to advance himself, wanted to make money. He would do things like, or at least so we're told by his ancient biography, would show up during fires. Rome had terrible fires, and he'd offer sort of cut rate prices for real estate as the tenements were burning down, and snap up these bargains, then redevelop the land. So he had a lot of money, and he wanted always to kind of advance his finances as well as his political fortunes. So he found in young Caesar a helper, and the two of them kind of cooperated on various schemes. Probably later, their critics exaggerated some of these things. Fake news was very much a phenomenon in ancient Rome. And the two really came together along with Pompey in a kind of unexpected alliance in some ways towards after this religious scandal, after the Catilinarian conspiracy. And what happened was Cato was kind of blocking all of them from getting various things they wanted. So the three of them came together.
And in coming together, they represent politics, they represent military, and they represent money. A great combination. And they establish what looks to be stability, but not for Cato. Cato is extremely unhappy with their conduct, especially because we're coming up with important posts that they can hold. And we best establish, Professor, as I understand the ladder climbing of officials in Rome, you begin with an aedile.
Yeah, the first office actually is the quaestorship, which would be the financial position.
The quaestorship is the money one.
Yeah.
But before that, the one that handled roads and stadiums, that was below quaestorship?
That was actually an optional office that typically you would hold. If you did hold it, you would hold it next. That one could be quite expensive because you were expected to sort of top up the funds out of your own fortune. You know, one of the amazing differences between Roman politics and our own. So Caesar held it. And, you know, this is where having a friend like Crassus came in handy. He could borrow money to put on the most lavish games.
So aedile and quaestorship. And what's after that?
Yeah. So the next required office would be that of praetor. And these were essentially judicial officers. And then after holding that office, often you were sent overseas to govern for a year. So Caesar held that office and came back. That was when he went off to Spain. He came back and was sort of looking for a triumph, one of these great parades, after his victories in Spain. But what he also wanted was to rise to the next office, the top office, that was the consulship.
Right.
And there were two consuls a year. Always there was more than one of everything, because the Romans didn't like the idea of power concentrated in the hands of one person.
Until they did. Now, there's a parallel officialdom, the tribunate. There's also the tribal assembly and the plebeian assembly. The tribunate, however, has a power. It's the veto power. What does that mean, Professor?
Yeah. So the tribunes started as a separate office. They were supposed to represent the ordinary people, the so-called plebs. And there were 10 elected each year. And they had this awesome power of veto. And that allowed them really to block practically any other branch of government from doing almost anything. Now, I mean, can you imagine nowadays what this would lead to? So even in Rome, right? I mean, the potential for gridlock was tremendous with that. So they were supposed to exercise it cautiously. It really did have to be on behalf of the people, and it had to be justified. But it was an awesome power, and it increasingly came to be abused, I think it's fair to say, in the late Roman Republic as these political quarrels heated up.
We now have established the battle between Caesar and Cato, but we also need to mention that there's a running story through all of these events, which is the optimates, the senior senatorial figures, and the new men, who are often advancing themselves into the Senate. Caesar sides with the populares, the new men, are the leaders of the emerge from the populares. Cato sides with the optimates, but they really were the same people, Professor. That's what's often confusing. Caesar was as much optimates as he was populares, and Cato was as much populares in terms of his reforms as he was optimates. Did it confuse the Senate that they never knew which side they were on? We have about a minute.
Yeah. So it was these small group of families that tended to dominate, as we've been discussing. And, Roman politics wasn't really organized around parties as we do it nowadays in democracies. It would be organized around personalities. And you would have, followers of one guy, followers of the other. But there was a group that sort of liked the noble families controlling the Senate to be in charge. And Cato sided with them. These would be the so-called best men, the optimates. And then Caesar thought, these people are a clique. They're too powerful. Let's go to the people. Let's have the people pass laws in their own interests. So they're not parties. And that's why it, is harder to follow than R versus D or blue versus red. But there's sort of instincts, techniques, philosophies that kind of organize people. And really, it is the central issue, right? Should the Senate have power with its noble families, or should the people be put more in charge of things?
And Caesar and Pompey and Crassus, to an extent, disrupt this neat little formula by suggesting land redistribution and reforms. And their allies suggest handing out grain distribution in Rome. Very upsetting to the Senate that has things neatly arranged in the courts. And so when we come back, the predicate for what will become the catastrophe of the Civil War. The book is Uncommon Wrath. Josiah Osgood is the author. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Mo-do.us. Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.